Let's take a look at the weather now. A ridge of high pressure is moving into the area today, and it will bring us clearing skies, lighter winds, and mild temperatures. The next storm system will develop in the plains tonight, and as the low tracks into Missouri by tomorrow morning, scattered showers and thunderstorms will overspread the region from the southwest. Severe thunderstorms with strong wind gusts and hail will be possible from central Illinois southeast into the Ohio Valley tomorrow and tomorrow night. To the northwest of the low-pressure track, snow is expected from Iowa northeast into Wisconsin. High temperatures today will range from the low 40s in southern Wisconsin to the upper 60s in southern Missouri. Lows tonight will range from the mid-20s in northwestern Iowa to near 50 degrees along the Ohio Valley. The forecast for east central Illinois this afternoon, becoming mostly sunny. It will be cooler today. We'll see a high in the low 50s. The wind from the west at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight becoming partly cloudy overnight, the low 40. The wind out of the southeast from 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, showers and thunderstorms are likely. Look for a high in the low 60s with the wind from the southwest at 15 to 20 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a chance of evening showers, the low 32. The wind will be from the west at 15 to 20 miles per hour. Saturday, partly sunny, much cooler, the high 42. The wind will be out of the west from 15 to 20 miles per hour. Saturday night, mostly cloudy with a low in the upper 20s. Sunday, mostly cloudy with a chance of rain or snow showers. Look for a high in the upper 30s Sunday. The outlook for Sunday night, mostly cloudy with a low in the mid-20s. At noon central time, temperatures across Illinois and Indiana ranged from the upper 30s to 60 degrees in southern Illinois. A mix of sky conditions today at the noon hour. In Rockford, it was 38 degrees. At O'Hare, 39. Bloomington reported 40 degrees. In Mattoon, 47. At Carbondale, 60 degrees. South Bend, 39. In Lafayette, 40. 45 at Indianapolis, and Terre Haute reported 46 degrees at the top of the hour. Willard Airport reported 45 degrees at noon. The sky, sunny. The dew point, 29. The relative humidity, 53%. The wind out of the west at 10. The barometric pressure, 29.89 and falling. And at 12:40 Central Time, 44 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois. At a time of economic turmoil in Greece, a professor of linguistics at the University of Illinois says there's also been an outburst of artistic activity in that country. With the emergence of a program in modern Greek studies comes the first Champagne Greek Film Festival tomorrow and Saturday at the Art Theater in Champaign. Illinois Public Media's Jeff Bosser talked with the director of modern Greek studies, Marina Turkoufrafi, who says the films shed new light on a country and its culture at a difficult time.
I think it's in some ways quite a happy coincidence that this happens in the middle of the biggest economic and political crisis that Greece has faced in its recent history. And that's for two reasons. I found out, as someone who can read the press on both sides, that there is quite a bit of divergence, not to say misinformation, and different figures. There's disagreement about the facts between what the Greeks tend to read in their press and how facts about Greece are reported outside of Greece. So I think this festival will be a nice opportunity for people in the Champagne community to hear directly about life in Greece, see the actual Greek cities, hear the language, be exposed to the problems of the man on the street today in Greece. They're very contemporary films, and they're very down to earth. They do take their themes from the lives of ordinary people. So that's one reason why I think, you know, this is a happy coincidence in the middle of all the difficult and negative things that are going on in Greece. The other reason is that actually in the past couple of years, but maybe even more so in the last 12 months, we can really talk about regeneration of Greek film and Greek movie making. In the same year, we've had the deaths of two very prominent Greek directors, Michael Kakoyannis in the summer, the director of Zorba the Greek, and Theo Angelopoulos more recently, who was a frequent winner at the Cannes Film Festival, and also a documentary maker who's been pretty influential in Greece herself, Luki Erikaki. So three deaths at the same time, very much a turning of the tide, as if a new generation is taking over of young Greek filmmakers. And these are the people whose work we'll be showcasing in this festival.
What I also read about Greek film is that there was a boycott organized a few years ago of the competitive portion of the nation's film festival. So has there been a genuine lack of exposure to film in Greece?
Well, that is something that happened in the cinematographic world. And actually, more appropriate to talk about this will be one of the directors who are involved in that movement, which is called Filmmakers in the Mist. He will be here at the opening of the festival on Friday at 7 p.m. at the Art Theatre. His name is Niko Frangias, and he's the director of the film Hellenes, who helped us organize this festival, and they are based in Chicago. So what I know from Nikos about this is that this was really a movement of the young generation of filmmakers who felt as if the state funding that has been necessary for Greek filmmakers to make their films over the past 20 years was really reserved for an elite, and it wasn't openly and transparently allocated. And that was what prompted the filmmakers to sabotage what is really the oldest and most established film festival in the Balkans, one of the Saloniki that you mentioned. So the boycott was a public protest against the way state funding for filmmaking has been allocated in Greece for a couple of decades. And it seems to have achieved its purpose.
So these are more independent type film and maybe what you would see in the Greek version of the Sundance Film Festival or something like that.
Definitely, definitely. So the Art Theatre is actually a very appropriate venue to show these films. Yes, these are not blockbusters by any means, although they are very well loved films in Greece. You know, they make people laugh and cry. They're not more removed in that sense. They do appeal to the average person.
Can we talk about maybe a couple of the films that really stand out for you, or you can run through some themes here?
Oh, wow. I've been asked that question a lot, and it's hard because I was involved in selecting all of them, and they depict different aspects. The one that has really swept all the prizes wherever it's been shown is the closing film, Attenberg, which is considered by some the successor to Dogtooth, which was the Greek participation in last year's Oscars. It was nominated for a Best Foreign Film. So Attenberg continues what has by some been called the weird wave in Greek cinema. It's not an easy film by any means, it plays with the viewer's emotions in a very subtle way. The theme is very difficult. It's a young woman who is ferrying her father back and forth for cancer treatment at the same time, and he's the only person that she has in this life, and she's preparing for his imminent death and needs to eventually branch out and forge relationships with other people and doesn't really know how to do that. So that's a very universal theme. There's another film with a more universal topic, which is what happens when a parent dies and children have to move on and leave behind this sense of warmth that came with the family home. So it's about the selling of the family home by three siblings. And that's set against the background of Athens. That's a film that's very true to what Athens is like today, with all its noises and traffic and and how human relationships are morphed against the background of the city in the end. But that one has an optimistic message. They do manage in the end. Those two are on Saturday. Gold Dust is the second film I was talking about. That's at 7 p.m. on Saturday, and Attenberg is at 9 p.m. Now, the two films on Friday are good for different reasons, and they are more Greek-specific, I might say. They deal more with topics that you'd need some context about contemporary Greece to understand better. And the first one deals with how the countryside is being abandoned, how people in the city view people in the villages. That's The Guardian Sun. That's our opening film. And I think it resonates possibly with the experience of a lot of Greek Americans who a few generations ago would have gone through that process themselves. A lot of Greek Americans have left ancestral villages to move to the U.S. They didn't move necessarily from large cities.
Now, do they all have a visiting lecturer or someone introducing these movies or discussing them beforehand?
That's right. We for the first time this semester, the program in Modern Greek Studies has been able to offer a course on contemporary Greek culture and film. And our visiting lecturer is Dr. Vasiliki Tsitsopoulou, who is commuting to be with us from Bloomington, Indiana. So she's going to be here this weekend. She teaches every Wednesday, but this time she's going to be here for the festival, and she's going to be introducing the films. Yeah. So hopefully, you know, that will help people who have no background at all about Greece to be able to understand perhaps some of the references better. Of course, all Greeks or films are in Greek, but with English subtitles. But I think, you know, the introductions will help a little bit. They'll be brief, less than 5 minutes.
You see maybe more exposure for Greek studies on campus as a result of this, or think this might draw more people to look into that?
Definitely. I do see it as a contribution first for the community at large that doesn't have the opportunity to watch these films. These are not films that have distributors in this country at all. So this is the only possibility to show them. But I also see it more specifically as, an opportunity for modern Greek studies to contribute to the campus culture, to make its presence known and make its potential known.
University of Illinois Director of Modern Greek Studies, Marina Terkarafi. She spoke with Jeff Bossert about Champaign's first Greek Film Festival tomorrow and Saturday at the Art Theater. You'll find the full schedule online at our website, will.illinois.edu.
This fall, visit England and Wales, locations made famous in Last of the Summer Wine, Downton Abbey, and more, including Agatha Christie's home on the coast of South Devon. Does American history suit you? Well, travel in private vintage train cars on our Civil War train. This September's itinerary includes important southern battlefields and discussions with historian Anthony Pitch. Information is at will.illinois.edu/willtravel or call 217-333-7300.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 1st of March, 2012. It was on this day, 1872, Yellowstone was named a national park. Trappers and explorers had written about the area for years, and they were not believed. Their stories about petrified trees and water shooting up out of the ground and boiling mud. Because of the Civil War and the Indian Wars, the United States Geological Survey did not come in to investigate Yellowstone until 1871. It submitted a 500-page report to Congress, and on this day, 1872, President Grant signed the Act of Dedication to preserve more than 2 million acres of wilderness. It was the world's first national park. It's the birthday of the poet Robert Lowell, born Boston, 1917. Early poems were metrical and rhymed, but by the time his book Life Studies came out in 1959, he was writing free verse about his own life, came to be called confessional poetry. Robert Lowell, who suffered from bipolar disorder, in and out of mental institutions for a good part of his life, but he carried on steady friendships with a number of people, including the poet Elizabeth Bishop. They wrote letters back and forth for 30 years, collected and published by Ferris Strauss under the title Words in Air, the complete correspondence between Elizabeth Bishop and Robert Lowell. Two badly damaged people, both alcoholic. His manic depression, somewhat alleviated by lithium in his later years, She suffered all her life from depression, asthma, terrible allergies, arthritis. It's the birthday of the poet Richard Wilbur, New York City, 1921, served in the infantry in World War II, fought on the front lines, but when he wrote poems about the war, he wrote about the quiet, lonely moments. Richard Wilbur, who said, "I would feel dead if I didn't have the ability periodically to put my world in order with a poem. I think to be inarticulate is a great suffering." And it's the birthday of Ralph Ellison, born Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, 1914, the grandson of slaves. Wanted to be a classical composer, but when he met Langston Hughes and Richard Wright, they encouraged him to be a writer, so he did that. He was 31 years old, living on his friend's Vermont farm, recovering from a kidney infection, sitting in the barn with a typewriter, and out of nowhere he typed the sentence, "I am an invisible man." It took him 7 years to write the book. Invisible Man came out in 1952. It was the only novel he published in his lifetime. The second, Juneteenth, came out posthumously. Here's a poem for today by David Budbill entitled March. Rain glaze on snow, mud and ice and snow. Coyotes feed themselves on gaunt dreams of spring.